leave the land, Haran, there, as we find. And we also find that he left from his father's house. And we established also that there's a real good possibility that his father was still alive when he left. And so the difficulty of leaving your family and having to tell them bye versus them passing away and then moving away is different. And very possibly had to just turn his back on his father and turn his back on him and some of his family and everything and just go. But the other thing was is God told him to turn and leave and get away from his kindred. And so we found this morning that he did two-thirds of the promise, two-thirds of the command. He did most of it, like we talked about this morning, amen. He did most of it. And we find that even though he did most of it, it still wasn't what God said do. And so we can find that there's some issues with that kind of stuff that we'll pick and choose sometimes of what we want to do in obedience and how we want to do it and when we want to do it. And we find that his father, now I don't see in the scriptures where God told Terah to go to Canaan. I just know that we see that he was on his way there. Some reason he had the notion to go, and evidently he was going too slow, amen, and God found somebody else to do that. And you know, if we're not going to be totally obedient and do what God asked for us to do, and we just be lazy about it and delay things and all that stuff, well then God will find somebody to do it. I mean, he doesn't have to have Calvary Baptist Church to do some of the things that we're doing, amen. He'll find somebody to do it. And so we must remember that whenever we are wanting to do some things for God and we're wanting blessings from God and we're wanting these things from God, that, we need to be totally obedient. We need to be totally in line with what God would have for us to do and just do it. Amen. And God never said that it would be easy. Right. God never said that it would be, as the old saying is, a bed of roses. God never said everything was going to be fine. You just, you know, it's going to be easy. It'd be okay. You just, you know, you just take your time and do it when you feel like it, right? I know that this afternoon that some of you adults staying with these kids didn't feel like hanging in here. Amen. Right? It's like, man, what did I sign up to do? Amen. While the moms and dads are at home going, man, I love this. Amen. But there's just those things, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to that place and your human side gets to kicking in and it gets into the place to where that, you know, you get tired, you get wore out, you get weary. And, you know, we find that in several places in the scriptures. Elijah did that. Amen. We find Moses did that. We find Jonah. He was just a rascal anyway, trying to get out of doing what God wanted him to do the whole time. Amen. Which that fits a lot of us, amen. Just trying to figure out a way how we can get by without doing what God wants us to do. Amen. And so there's several of them in the scriptures that just got wore out and got tired and wanted to do what they wanted to do. And we hear that, we see that, and we find that in the scriptures a lot of times. And if we're not careful, we'll get into that mode and we'll get into that mood and do those things. So, but Abraham, he missed one thing, and we find that the one thing that he missed was as he carried Lot with him. Lot was not a bad man, so to speak, in the terms of, that he was a very wicked man. The Bible says at the end of his life that that the life and the deeds of Sodom and Gomorrah had vexed his righteous soul. So there were some good things about Lot, but he just made some bad decisions as well. And I can't help but think that he made some bad decisions as piggybacking off the things that Abram did. I mean, you know, and I think he had a great influence on Lot. I do. I mean, you can't help but think that. Amen. And so we see those pictures of these things in the Word of God. So Abraham departed there in verse number 4, and we find there that Lot went with him. We find there in verse number 5, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son. So we find there that there he goes. He takes Lot. We established that this morning, and maybe he shouldn't have. Maybe he shouldn't have. Maybe he should have separated from Lot when God told him to. And to be in total obedience, sometimes we say, well, God, if God was truly God, he wouldn't ask me to do that. Right? You know, if it was really, you know, if God is who he said he was, then, you know, he wouldn't do that. He don't send people to hell. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. If he's a God of love, he wouldn't do those kind of things, you know. You ever thought about what man does to God?
Yeah.
Amen? If you said you love God, why do you do the things you do? Right? I mean, if we say we love God, why do we sit back on him? We could really just get heavy right there.
Yeah.
Amen? We could really get on it, but that's not the message. I'm not working on trying to get on you. I'm trying to help us tonight to realize that there's some separation that we need to take and take it in consideration, not only into consideration, but we need to take it very honestly, but we also need to take it very consciously. But we need to understand that's what God wants us to do with some things. See, we said it the other week, this is not our home, amen? This is not where we're going to be forever. There's some things that we must be separate from. The Bible clearly tells us to be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, separated unto the gospel. So if we're separated unto something, that means that we're apart from one thing and unto something else. If we're separated, unto God, that means that we're separated from the world. And so we have to understand that we must get on that path and realize that you can't do both. You can't do both. You can't. Listen, you might come to church for a week or two and live like hell through the week or something like that. Then you may get by with that for just a little while, but it's eventually going to catch up. And the reason being is God's not going to put up with that kind of stuff. Amen. He's just not going to do it. We can do things and our wife or husband or mom or dad or whatever doesn't know that we're doing these things. And you know something, if you're really and truly a child of God, it's going to change and it's going to show something in your life of whether or not you're following God or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to show. I mean, it just is. It might show in an attitude. Amen. It might show not just in the attitude, but it might show in conversation.
Right.
You know something? Sometimes you don't have to say a word for people to see a difference in your life. Sometimes all you have to do is just be around whenever the Word of God is being read, or God is being lifted up, or there's something spoken about the Word of God, or something spoken about the things of God. And you know something, you can watch people, and when you watch people, it's their reaction to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, they spend millions of dollars on body language.
Yeah.
And you know something, here's the deal. I can stand up here, and I've been up here long enough to see things, and I'm not a professional at this stuff, and but I don't recognize everything, but I can see things up here, and I can tell by people's body language, whether or not you agree, whether or not you like it, whether or not, and sometimes whether or not you're guilty.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guilty. I mean, there's things that the preacher can see, and he doesn't have to be super spiritual. He doesn't have to be much of anything. He just has to be preaching the Word of God. And I'm telling you, the actions of the people, you can tell if you're hitting on something. I mean, you can just tell it. Amen. And let me tell you, you can tell when they're faking it too. Amen. You can tell when they're faking it. Sometimes whenever I get up here and I preach, or another preacher gets up here and preach, and man, he gets on something, and he might look up and he might look around. You may not know exactly who he's looking at. That's the reason why a lot of times I look down or look over. I don't want anybody to think I'm preaching strictly at you. Unless I want you to know, I'm preaching strictly to you.
Amen.
But the thing about it is, folks, is there's times when a preacher get on something, and man, he'll just hound it. Man, he'll get on it, and he'll get on it, and he'll preach it, and he'll preach it. Why? Because he's seen something.
Amen.
Amen. And he's seen something that's aggravating the devil. Amen. That's when you just pour it on.
Amen.
I want him to have a bad day. How about you? Have you had enough bad days with the devil messing you up? Have you had enough time wherever that you've been in the valley and the devil just comes along and starts just pushing you down and stepping on you? Don't you want him to have a bad day? Okay, when I see it, I'm going to preach on it, okay? I'm just telling you. Amen. And you got to do that kind of stuff. You got to do that kind of stuff. And boy, I tell you, we can make some decisions sometimes, and we'll get in a place where we make those decisions. Nobody might have seen it but God. But then when you get into the surroundings where God's at, it's going to affect you, and you're going to act different.
That's right. Amen.
You're just going to act different. And somebody may ask the question. They may say, hey, have you seen a change in so-and-so? Amen. Have you noticed something about them? And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And then they say, well, you know, man, there's just something different. Something just changed in them. Something's just not the way it used to be. Amen. You married couples know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Who are you talking to? Myself. Amen. Isn't that right? I mean, it's just the way the thing goes. Are you mad? No. You upset? No. Well, what? Just leave me alone, would you? We do that, right? Why? Something, whether anybody saw you or not, something inside's changed. And you know what? It could be that we just not fully and totally sold out to the Lord. Or maybe that obedience thing, we've done 2/3 of it. Or maybe we just hadn't separated from those things that we need to be separated from. I mean, you know, I had friends when I was in high school. They're not my friends anymore. Amen. Why? Because a couple of reasons. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. But not only that, but, you know, my life's changed. Amen. I had friends when I was in high school that, I mean, you know, we did a lot of things together. But when I grew up, and especially when I got married, I didn't go hang out with the boys. Well, I had no business hanging out with the boys, right? I mean, you know, I don't have any special place I go to except for home. Home and church, and that's it. Amen. I got 3 places that if you were to track me on Google, it'd be work, home, and church. Amen. And one of those is really one I really don't want to do. It's not a favorite place, amen. And you can guess which one that is, right? But I'm just saying, folks, folks don't have to watch you. The preacher don't have to watch you. Amen. Church members don't have to watch you. Your husband or your wife don't necessarily have to watch you. It's just they've been around you long enough, and they've seen you long enough. They've listened to you long enough. They can tell when something's going on. Sometimes it's not just the body language, but sometimes it's a facial expression. Right? Amen. It's just a facial expression. The people look at you like... Right? I mean, I do that when I look in the mirror. It's really? Somebody should have told me that. That one hair, you know. It's like somebody should have told me that. I mean, it's just those things. It's those things sometimes, and they come about because maybe we just didn't make that right decision. Maybe we didn't separate. Maybe we didn't listen to what God had for us to do. Abram was in a mess. Abram was in a mess. We covered this morning about where he journeyed, but he journeyed south. And not only did he journey south, he went from south to worse. He went to Egypt, a type of the world, amen. And then when he went from a type of the world, he gets down there and he makes a really bad decision and he pawns his wife off as his sister. Amen. And then he leaves the place with a bad testimony. Amen. And so he gets that thing, gets that way because he's in the wrong place. He made a wrong turn somewhere. He went the wrong way, and now he's in the wrong place, and now he made the wrong decision. Everything was wrong. Amen. You ever been there? Seem like everything you do is just wrong? Well, maybe you ought to check up. Amen. Maybe you ought to look back somewhere and find out where you lost it. I mean, the woman in the Luke over there, I believe it's in chapter 15, whenever she lost the coin, the Bible says that she swept and garnished her place, her house, until she found it. I mean, she searched and searched and she cleaned and she got to the point. Why? Because she knew that she had it somewhere and she knew that she didn't go anywhere. And let me tell you something. You know where she found it? She found it where she lost it. The problem with us is most of us know where we lost it. We just don't want to go back to find it. Why? Because it may take somebody saying, I'm sorry. It may take somebody saying, I did wrong. It may take somebody just having to humble themselves and saying, hey, man, I lost it right here because I said something I should not have said. Amen.
Right.
Amen. So we get to those places, and so we figure it out that we lost it somewhere, and it might be just that we just didn't make that total commitment that we was going to serve God, or make that total commitment that we was going to separate ourselves, amen, from all those other things. You know, that's another thing, some reason why that I just don't care for. I got to be careful with some of that stuff, and I hope people don't get so upset. But you know, that's one reason why that I don't like Facebook too much. I mean, it's because there's people that bet whenever I did have my active thing, when that stuff first came out, you know, there was people on there that I didn't like when I was in school. Why would I like them now?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be my friend? No, I wasn't your friend in school. I don't want to be your friend now. Amen.
Right.
Quit asking me these things. Amen.
Right.
I don't want nothing to do with you. Said the preacher, amen. Amen. Sometimes you got to separate yourself, amen. So there he was, and he pawned his wife off as his sister, and he just wasn't making good decisions. He was doing so many things wrong. Amen. And then you find, as we left off this morning, that Abraham, because Lot got into a mess over there, Abraham was obligated there in chapter number 14 to go and help Lot because he got captured. Amen. He got captured, him and his wife and all the people and everything. And because that Abraham made that decision and Lot traveled with him, and there he was down there in Sodom, and man, he got captured by those people that came and took captives of Sodom. And so Abraham had felt like that he was obligated, and he was obligated. He made himself obligated because of he didn't make the right decision back there when God called him. Amen. So we find there that he got in the middle of Lot's trouble.
Yes.
And folks, we can do that too, because we can get in somebody else's trouble.
Amen.
We can get in somebody else's business and not really mean to. I guess I need to turn this on, don't I, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. I got to start all over? No, it ain't. They're going to stone me if I start all over. Amen. They will separate themselves from me if I start over. So we find this thing that there he is. He had to get involved because that was his kinfolk, amen, that he was supposed to separate from. But he didn't separate from them. And so now that Lot was in trouble, I mean, he felt obligated, and he was. And of course, we talked about their wealth. We talked about the strife that came between them, their herdsmen and all that stuff this morning. We talked about those many things. But then there's a couple of decisions that Abram made that was just, I mean, it was just bad. Not only was it that he did what he did with his wife there in Egypt, amen. But also we find that in chapter number 16, I want you to see something. If you go to chapter 16, as we begin here tonight, we find there that in chapter number 16, that God had already promised Abram that he was going to give him a child, amen. He promised him that he would do that. And so what happened was, and is that Sarah was like, well, look there in chapter 15 before you get to 16. Notice what it says there. And he says there, look in verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. Amen. And so he told him that he was going to have a seed. Amen. And so we find that you get over here to chapter 16. The Bible says in verse number 1 there, the Bible says, and now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Wrong decision, amen. I mean, there he was, and man, what a mess he was getting himself into. It just seemed like he was just getting deeper and deeper, and man, making bad decision after bad decision.
Right.
I mean, just one thing right after another.
Yeah. Yep.
And I can't help but believe it just stemmed on that thing back yonder whenever God said, get thee out.
Amen.
Get thee out.
Yeah.
And I think that you and I are having to deal with some things tonight because way back yonder somewhere, God said, get thee out.
Amen.
And so now we've got, if you will, baggage, right?
Yeah.
And we all have it. We all have it. There's not anybody in here tonight that doesn't have a little bit. Maybe some of these young people. And let me tell you something, just so you'll know, if you'll just completely obey God, you can completely do without the baggage. If you'll just completely follow the Lord with everything you got and just really trust Him with your life, amen, you won't have to worry about the baggage. Amen. But if you just want to do it your way, you'll collect it. If you just want to go your own, I mean, just follow the beat of your drum and, you know, you're your own person like the world tells you, and you can believe whatever you want to. And, you know, if you feel like you're going to be this today and you identify with this today and do all this, I mean, you know, you'll have baggage. Abram was dealing with baggage. Abram was dealing with his decisions. Abram was dealing with those things. And so now he's making bad decisions. He listened to Sarah. Instead of listening to God. He listened to Sarah instead of listening to God. It reminds me of another man that did that. Amen. He reminds me of the first man God made. Doesn't he know you? Doesn't he you? I mean, God told Adam, He said, look, I'm going to put you out here and I'm going to put these. You can have everything you want out here. But that one tree. It's that one thing. That's all I had. Just that one thing. Isn't that amazing? The one thing God says stay away from is the one thing they go after. Isn't that human nature? Isn't that just like us? The one thing God said don't do, that's what we do. I mean, it's just that way. It's just what we do. Amen. It's just like, don't go there. Well, why not? Why does God not want us to go there? Let's just ride by. We don't have to really stop. I wonder what they're doing over there. You know, and I mean, just wondering. I mean, no, just stay away from the thing. And then there he goes. And you know, he partakes of the thing, and here we are. Baggage. Bad decisions. One right after another. And then wind up having his boy killed by his other boy. Amen. I mean, the first murder recorded in the Bible. Amen. What a thing. So he listens to Sarah instead of for the promised seed. He listens to Sarah instead of God. And so finally, God comes back to him there in chapter 18 and reassures him of some things. In chapter 18, in verse number 10, if you look at this, and here's the angel of the Lord coming to Sarah and coming to Abram. And he says there in verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? So the angel of the Lord came and showed up, and he told him, he said, look, you're going to, about a year from now, you're going to have another child, or you're going to have a child. And so Sarah's like, you know, are you kidding me? I'm 89 years old. You realize that Ishmael is already 13. And by the time Isaac is born, Ishmael's 14. And man, God kept telling Abraham look, it's going to be between you and Sarah. It's not going to be between you and the Egyptian.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And so he tells him, you know, about another year, and it was about another year. Well, then what happened was they get a child. Amen. Amazing.
Amen.
I mean, you know, if we just listen to God, He's not going to make a promise that he's not going to keep. We just got to wait on him. I mean, really? I mean, and truly, that's what we got to do. We just got to wait on him. So we find there that he made the promise. And if you look there in chapter 21, it gives you the ending of the thing. Notice in verse number 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which he had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, which means laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. I mean, God kept his promise. And God will keep his promise to you. He'll keep his promise like he said he would. It don't matter how much we believe God or not. Sarah didn't believe him. She didn't believe him, but he kept his promise. He kept his promise and told her exactly when she was going to have a baby. And she did. Isn't that amazing? But there, Sarah was 90 whenever she had Isaac. Abraham was 100. And we find that Ishmael, at 13 years old, that's when God brought the circumcision to Abraham for the Jews. And so Ishmael, at 13, was circumcised. And so we find that Abram was 99. Abraham was 99 when he was circumcised. And God put that thing in toward the Jews. And so why did he do that? Because it had something to do with the seed. Amen. And that's what God was trying to tell him. But God kept his promise, even though Abraham listened to Sarah. And now, let me show you one final thing there about the separation. All through this, I believe that it had a lot to do with Abraham not listening to God. All through there, I do believe that it had something to do with him not separating like he should have separated from doing it and not listening to God and him not being totally obedient. So when God said that thing, God meant it. And so there had to come a time to where that Abraham was going to have to accept a separation and was going to have to accept a total obedience. So we find, if you look there in chapter number 18, this is what happens. And you know the story. Since Abraham would not separate himself, guess what? God had to do it. And God did it. But it wasn't pretty. You see, if he would have done it whenever he was told to do it, it wouldn't have been so bad. But look at the trouble. Do you realize it was only about 25 years that all this stuff took place in Abraham's life? See, don't you remember this morning we read over there in chapter number 11 and 12 that Abraham was only 75 years old when God called him. And now he has a son named Isaac and he's 100. So it's only 25 years there, and all this stuff took place in that amount of time. 25 years is really not that long of a period of time. And we find that, man, he got himself over 25 years. Man, he was, I mean, God still spoke to him. God still did some things, and we'll look at that in a minute. But the deal of it is man, he had trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. How would you like to do that? I know people like that. I know church people like that. Every time you talk to them, oh my goodness, this is happening going on here, and boy, this has happened. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, did you hear that this happened? And man, this happened. And I mean, just constantly trouble, trouble, trouble. You say, well, you know, some Christians, they just, you know, and I get that. You say, well, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, look at the trouble he went through. Yeah, I get it. But what did Apostle Paul do before he got saved? Amen. Listen, there's times whenever the chickens come home to roost, amen. When the troubles come home, amen. I mean, I was told not long after my dad passed away, and not long after that, that I was told, and it's a true statement, that everybody, he had two sisters, and he had one brother, and all of them are gone now, okay? But even his daddy passed away when he was 50 years old. His brother passed away when he was 51. My dad passed away when he was 50. I mean, and one of his sisters passed away when she was 50, and one of them lived, his baby sister, actually lived a few years past 50, maybe 55, 60 maybe, or maybe a few years past that. And so I was told that the Clardy name, because of the life and the wickedness and how that they lived, that it was a cursed name. And you know, I couldn't deny it. I couldn't say anything against it. Amen. But I've surpassed 50. Amen. Amen. And I don't know if that's a curse or not, but maybe I should have been gone. I know I should have been gone. But the thing of it is folks, lost people, you understand, even though you get saved, that don't change your past. It don't change the life that you lived. I mean, if you have had an accident and you lost your foot before you got saved, that don't mean when you get saved you get your foot back. Amen. Amen. So the life that Paul, the trouble that Paul had was because of the life he lived before he got saved. Those things, you remember what he said? He said there, he said, I want you to get Paul and I want you to tell him of all the things he must suffer. You remember that? I'm just saying, folks, be careful about your obedience. Be careful about your life of decisions. Be careful of those things. And some people just have a life full of trouble because of decisions that they've made. But yet, we still like to blame everybody else, don't we? Well, if they didn't do that, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. Well, you didn't have to mess with them. You didn't have to run with them, amen? You didn't have to do all those things, right? I mean, we want to blame everybody else, but the reality of it is when we stand before God, He'll be judging us. He won't be judging what they did. He'll be judging what I did. He'll judge them what they did, but for them. But when I'm standing before him, I'm not going to be able to say that woman you gave me. I'm not going to be able to say that. Amen. So we find that here in chapter 18 that Abraham had to deal with the separation that God made. Chapter 18, we find this, that God comes to Abraham. And as he comes to Abraham, he says this in verse number 17. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely come, become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. But wouldn't that be something for God to say that about you? Boy, that would be nice. That'd be sweet, wouldn't it? Man, I know them. They're going to do right. Notice he says there, his children, he command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because of the crime of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Amen. And so what you find there is that you find that that God is coming to Abraham, and he starts to tell Abraham, look, I'm going to destroy that place. Why did Abraham care whether God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Why would he care if God's going to destroy them? Well, he had some investments down there. Why? Because a long time ago, 25 years ago, he made a bad decision. And he didn't obey what God told him to do. So now, Abraham has got to make a decision. Is he going to follow God, or is he going to follow, you know, what is he going to do? Well, God made a decision for him. Church, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? There comes a time, if you're truly saved and you keep telling God you're going to do something and you don't do it, eventually God will make that decision for you. He will do it. Amen. It's a whole lot easier if we'll just go ahead and do it. Amen. It'd be a whole lot easier if we'll just go ahead and take care of business. But we'll just keep putting it off. And you know what we'll do? Eventually we'll get to the place to where we think that God's long-suffering is his approval for us to just do whatever we want to do. No. No. Separation, total obedience. Abraham had something invested down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it wasn't the wickedness down there. He had a nephew down there. He had a kinfolk down there. Amen. He had kinfolk down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And so with him having kinfolk down there, you know what he did? Man, he started petitioning God. He said, man, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, Lord, please don't be mad at me, but if it's just 10. And God said, if there's 10, I won't destroy it. And you know something? Abraham got his answer.
Yes, he did.
He got his answer. There wasn't 10. There wasn't 10. Abraham stood out there and looked over the plains and he saw the smoke coming up. And you know something? I don't ever read where Abraham and Lot ever got together again. I don't read where ever Lot even got mentioned anymore except for him having incest with his two daughters. And then you find out that, for some reason, God put him over there in the New Testament and said, you know, for him being down there, it vexed his righteous soul. But as far as anything Lot did for God, it ain't in there. It ain't in there. So you know what God had to do? God had to make the decision for Abraham. And you know what? God did it too. Well, you know, I can't believe God would do all that. Listen, he's going to do it to America.
Amen.
He's going to do it to America. And I honestly believe that the reason why that he hadn't done it to America, and don't get mad at me, I'm just going to tell you the truth. One reason why he hadn't done it to America yet is because we got a bunch of church people that's got investments in this world.
Amen.
I got kinfolks. Don't you?
Amen.
I don't hang out with them. I don't fellowship with them. I don't agree with them. But I don't want them to go to hell.
Right.
There's still a few prayers going up for lost people that are living in this world. And you know something? If this country would have separated from a bunch of that garbage years ago,
right,
we wouldn't be in this mess.
Amen.
But here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. We can't blame the world for what they're doing. Listen, do you know they're doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
Listen, sin or sin. Right? I mean, wicked people do wicked things. I mean, that's what they do. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were doing what they were supposed to do. Let me ask the church, is the church doing what it's supposed to do? Is the church faithful to God? Is the church faithful to the Word of God? Is the church faithful in prayer? Is the church faithful to your spouse? Is the church faithful? Amen. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Don't blame the world. Amen. Don't blame the world. They're doing what they're supposed to do. We fuss at a dog because he barks. Right? What are you doing? Maybe God ought to open their mouth like he did the donkey for Balaam. Well, I'm barking. Most of bark. Right? I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Biden's doing what he's supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen. And can I tell you a secret? And again, don't get mad at me, but Trump ain't going to fix it. He's not going to fix it. It's going to take more than Trump. It's going to take a lot more than Trump. Amen. There's some good qualities about him being a man and some of the things that he does. And you know what? I'm for that. But I'm just saying the fix ain't in a man on this earth. The fix is from him. Amen. And he came as a man years ago, 2,000 years ago. And we rejected him. Amen. He's our fix.
Amen.
And he's the one we ought to be separated from the world unto.
Amen.
Amen. So there he is. God had to make that separation. And God did. God did. So just a couple of two or three things and I'll be done. Maybe. You're not going to believe this. But almost every time that I'm preparing to preach even when coming to church, I'm thinking about the message. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to stop early. I really think that. Yeah. I honestly, I do think that. You know, I just need to let up a little bit tonight and just let everybody have a break. But God says, preach. I walk in the door and I see that sign down there. So it's y'all's fault. Who put that sign out there? It's her fault. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, God will make that decision for us if we don't do it. God will do that. And then we're gonna really know. Then we're gonna really know, you know, the heartaches and the trouble. God tried for 25 years to get Abram right. Tried to teach him right, show him right, speak to him, tell him, look, I've got your promises, I'm gonna take care of you, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Abraham just kept going. It took 25 years. 25 years, and then God had to make a decision for him. Amen. I'm talking about a merciful God. He could have done like God told Moses. He said, look, Moses, he said, let me wipe them people out. He said, let me wipe them out. And he said, I'll start a whole new nation with you. And he could have done it. And you know what? He'd been just in doing it. He could have done Abraham. He could have, man, wiped him out and raised somebody else. Isaac came on the scene, and Abraham lived another 75 years after Isaac was born. And so, man, he could have just wiped him out whenever Isaac got born. But he didn't do it. What? That's a merciful God. He could have wiped me out a long time ago. I'm speaking about total obedience and the separation that we should be facing, we should be doing, this on our own. But you know what? All through his journey, all through these years, God still blessed Abraham. He still blessed him. If you were to go back there in chapter 14, you'll find over there that God delivered Abraham from whenever he delivered Lot. Amen? And not only did he deliver Abraham, but then he got to meet the king of Salem. Anybody know who that is? Melchizedek, amen. And who is Melchizedek? Man, the New Testament says that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You speak about him over there in the book of Hebrews, how that he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no birth that was recognized, and he had no death that was recognized. Amen. They didn't have a record of either one of those things, and he was called the King of Salem. Salem, like Solomon. Solomon reigned for 40 years. Solomon, no war in 40 years. Solomon, peace. King of Salem, King of Peace, amen. Amen. You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, peace, amen. That's what you get, amen. So God showed up over there and helped him along the way and showed him some things through Melchizedek. Not only that, but God still, even through the journeys and through the things that Abraham made mistakes with and messed up with, God still promised him that he was going to have a seed. Amen. He still told him he was going to have a child. Look there in chapter 15, as we read there just a moment ago. But in chapter 15, notice this thing, and again in verse number 4, he said, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Who's he talking about? Well, earlier in the chapter, he's talking about Ishmael. Why? Because Ishmael was not Sarah's son. And so he, God's just plainly telling Abraham that, look, Ishmael's not him. He's not the promised seed. And so we find there that God makes his covenant. And God makes his covenant that he's going to have a child from Sarah, his wife. And let me tell you something. It's not just that God promised him that. You see, this whole thing is a type of God's love for us, right? Doesn't it say over there in chapter 12 that God would bless him and that he would be a blessing to all nations? And that's what he said. He'd be a blessing to all nations. Amen. Isaac, listen, Abraham was a type of God the Father. Isaac was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was that promised seed. And so, you know what? Abraham, the father, amen, raises up Isaac, his son. Takest thy son, whom, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Yes. Well, he had another son, amen, named Ishmael. But God didn't recognize him. God just recognized Isaac. Why? Because he was the promised seed. He was that covenant that he made with him. And because that Isaac was born, well, then spiritually you and I are blessed. Why? Because he's a type of Christ, a spiritual seed. Amen. That's a whole different message, but it's still good. So you find there that God was still blessing him even through those journeys, even through those bad decisions and then those things. And folks, can I tell you tonight, God will still bless you and has blessed us. He has blessed us. He's given all of us more than what we deserve. He's given us so many blessings and so many things along the way. And a third thing is God makes a covenant with Abraham to give him the land. Yes. Look there, verse number 18 of chapter 15. Notice what he says. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the river Euphrates. So he didn't just give him the covenant with the promised seed, but he also gave him the covenant of that land. Can I tell you, according to the Word of God, that's God's land. That's the land that God gave to those people over there. And those people will not be defeated. They will not be defeated. That land will not be taken over. Listen, when Adam, listen, Satan, okay, and I, do I really need to go there? Is James asleep? Oh, he's out. All right. They said he ate so much sugar today, he wasn't going to go to sleep tonight. So, amen. You know, God made this earth. And when he made this earth, he had an anointed cherub to be over this earth. And that anointed cherub turned away from God. It was really, he was supposed to be the king of this earth. And he failed, okay? And he failed. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that his tail drew a third part of the stars. That's angels, okay? The stars were the angels. Okay, so you find that he failed. So why did he have so much interest in the earth? It's simply because that he was supposed to be the king of this earth. And then when God gave it to Adam, boy, he got jealous. And so when he got jealous, he came to this earth, and you find out that what he did was is he came to Eve, not Adam, but he came to Eve. Adam should have been there, I give you that, but he came to Eve, and of course man fell. So Adam fell. All right, so you get from Adam, you get over there to Noah. The Bible says that wasn't Noah the king of the earth? I mean, you know, after the flood, there was nobody else here. He was the king of the earth. God, for the third time, gave this thing over to someone, and they all fell. So the devil got Adam, but through the woman, and he got Noah through drunkenness. Amen. And so the third part of the stars come down, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 over there that the sons of God came into the daughters of men. Who were the sons of God? Well, that's that third part of the stars that got true in Revelation chapter 12. And man, they come down to this earth and they intermingle with the women, and the Bible says there were giants in the land. Yes. What were they here for? Man, to destroy.
Yes, yes. Amen.
To destroy. And so it's been like that ever since. So God sent the flood. And you know what God told Noah after the flood? He said, I want you to replenish the earth. The exact same thing he told to Noah, told to Adam, he told to Noah. God had already destroyed the earth once. Amen. And so we find that the devil is constantly trying to mess up the people, God's people. Why? Because he wants this earth. He's a squatter. It just automatically went back to him whenever man fell. I mean, it just reverted back to him when man fell. This world is the devil's world right now. And we got to understand that. But God makes a covenant and says, you're going to get that land. You're going to get that land. It's yours. And God gave it to them. And listen, they're still fighting over that thing now.
Yes.
They're still fighting over it. But they're going to get it. They're going to get it, and they're going to keep it. And because Jesus Christ came to this earth, not the second Adam, but the last Adam.
Amen.
I know that we sing the Christmas carol, we sing the Christmas songs, second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't call Jesus Christ the second Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam.
Amen.
The same temptations that Eve and Adam dealt with is the same temptations that Christ dealt with whenever he was driven into the wilderness.
Amen.
Yet without sin.
Amen.
And so guess what? These things that God said were going to come to pass, they're going to come to pass.
Amen.
Why? Because that one didn't fail.
Amen.
That one didn't fail. But it's going to happen in God's time.
Amen.
It's going to happen in God's time. God makes a covenant with Abraham to give him that land, and he does. He will give him that land. And finishing, after 25 years of ups and downs, 25 years of ups and downs, God opens the womb of Sarah. God finally comes along, but he had to deal with Abraham and his obedience first. He had to deal with that separation first. He had to deal with that. Because if he didn't deal with that, if he didn't deal with that, well, then he would have still been in the mess that he was in. Because what you find is in chapter 18, he tells Sarah and lets Sarah in on the covenant. And God says, this is the last straw. I'm going to give you a child in about a year. And then whenever you get over there to the end of the chapter, you'll find where God tells Abraham, I'm going to destroy that city. God had to make the decision to separate and make that thing right before he could bring him that promised seed. Listen, before God can bless you with the things that he promises and covenants with you about, before he can do that, we got to be totally obedient. And we can either do that on our own or God will have to do it, one or the other. But God can't bless us if we still got this stuff in our life between us and him. He couldn't bless Abraham like he wanted to and still Abraham not fully committed. He couldn't do it. But then when that separation came, God could bring that covenant. God could bring that promise to him. And folks, that's where the church is tonight. That's where some of us as individuals are tonight. We're in that place to where that, you know, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Yeah, we do know what's going on. We do know what's going on. And we find that we're going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to make a choice. Finishing up tonight, look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You see, Abraham didn't see the promise come to fruition about the land. He didn't see the promise come to fruition of only one thing, and that was his seed, that he got to see Isaac. But that's as far as he got to see. He got to see Isaac. He got to see the promise of that. But the promise of the long term, the promise of that long term, he didn't get to see it. But yet he still believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says this in verse number 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. One of those was Abraham. He didn't receive the full promise, but yet he stayed faithful. I wonder if us tonight would stay faithful. God's promised us some things, and would we last 25 years without the promise? Some of these people lasted a lifetime. I wonder if we'd stay faithful. And the Bible says there in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So what is he saying? What's the better thing provided for us? Well, we got to see the promised seed come. We got to see Christ. Not only did we get to see him, but we got to see his death, burial, and resurrection, which Brother Drew read this morning in Sunday school, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, the gospel. The gospel. We got to see it. And boy, we got so much to thank him for. So much to thank him for. Total obedience. Separation. The separation. Wonder where we're at tonight. Wonder where we're at tonight. Are we separated unto the gospel? Are we separated unto the things of God? Are we separated to the place to where God would have us to be? Mr. Arlene, if you'll play something softly on the piano, please.